Today's a day about children and about gifts. And we've just heard a story which is unique in that it's the miracle that appears in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in John's account, which John's just read, it tells you about a child. And I want to tell you the story as the child might have told it. He's 8 years old. Every day he goes out with his dad, and his mum makes sure he's got something to eat later on in the day. And he helps his dad looking after the goats and the sheep. But sometimes his dad lets him off for a while. And when he does, he leaves the hills and he runs down to the lake because he loves watching the fishermen catching their fish. And the only thing he enjoys more than that is when there's a crowd. Because when you're eight, you can sneak through the crowd and listen in to everything that was happening. And these days, the reason why there was often a crowd is because Jesus was all around. And so it was that this little boy, aged eight, came down and he sneaked in and he saw Jesus talking to his closest friends. They called them disciples. And the disciples were all kind of confused. They were so excited because they'd just been entrusted by Jesus to go on their own to tell people about God. And they'd seen God at work, and they were so on a high with that. But when they came back, they heard terrible news that King Herod had killed John the Baptist. And if he'd killed him, who might be the next person he'd want to kill? It would be Jesus. So they were both excited and frightened and exhausted. And Jesus said, look, friends, you need to come away with me. Let's have a rest, a retreat, so you can get your heads together. So he put them all in the boat, and they set off. But you see, we didn't want to miss out on the action. And we could work out from the way that the boat was sailing that if we just ran round the shore, we could be there to meet Jesus. Well, I've only got small legs, but you know, I'm pretty strong. And I was running along, and every time we passed the village, people said, why are you running? We're going to find Jesus. And they joined too. And suddenly there was hundreds of us. Almost all men, you know, because the women had to do the real work. So the men were going round the side there. And in fact, we got there before Jesus and the disciples, ready with our big smiles to welcome him. You should have seen the disciples' faces. They were like Scotland fans after they'd lost their rugby match. Did I tell you one yesterday? I know someone's waiting when I would get that in. But anyway, they were not pleased to see all of us. But Jesus was. Jesus always had time for us. And so, although he was tired and although they were tired, he got out of his boat and he started to teach about God. And when people needed healed, he healed them. And when people needed loved, he loved them, and he cared for them. And time just passed, and you could tell the disciples were looking at their watches, except watches hadn't been invented, so they were watching the sun, saying, are we never going to get alone time with Jesus? And it was beginning to get dark. And so the disciples said, it's dark, the people haven't eaten. Send them away to get some food. Now, I was quite good at sums at school, and I'd worked out there were about 5,000 people there. Well, the nearest village only had 2,000 max. Where were they going to get food? I knew that Burger King was having a refit. The nearest McDonald's was in Jerusalem, and Pizza Hut didn't deliver in the wilderness. Where were they going to get food? And then I listened because Jesus, I think with a smile in his eyes, though the disciples weren't really picking it up, said, how much would it cost to give them all something to eat? And it was Philip who just about lost the plot. Out came his pocket calculator. And he said, give them something to eat. If we even just gave them a bit of bread and some cheese to 5,000 of them, it would cost more than what I would earn in half a year. It would cost more than I would earn in 8 months. It would cost 200 denarii. That's about £15,000 for one meal. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus, but none of us have got £50,000 loose cash in our pockets. And if we did, would we possibly spend £15,000 on giving a meal for these people who've spoilt our day? So Jesus said, I've got a better idea. You give them some food. What? With no money, with no food, what don't you understand? I'll tell you what they didn't understand. They didn't understand the person they were talking to was Jesus. And so often with us too, when there's a problem and we don't have enough and don't know where to turn, we forget that we have Jesus, whose great gift is to take the impossible and get it done. So he said, well, what have you got? Don't know if you remember, I learned this at the synagogue, how Jesus, God was often asking questions like that. Do you remember Moses? God wanted Moses to challenge the Pharaoh. And Moses said, on your bike, except you don't say that to God, but he probably thought it. And God said to Moses, what have you got? He said, I've just got my stick. And he said, well, throw down your stick. So he threw it down. Ah! The snake, the stick turned into a snake. And then God said, pick it up. My wife wouldn't pick it up. She hates snakes. So he went up to pick up the snake by its tail. And the snake turned back into a rod. And later that rod would be used to hit the water and the sea would part, to hit a rock and water would come in the wilderness, not because the rod was magical, but because God was there. Well, what have you got? Says Jesus. Well, they look around, they turn out their pockets. In fact, when I was telling my mum about that at night, my mum said, typical. Bunch of men, never think ahead, no food. That's why they haven't got anything. But my mum had given me something to eat. And one of the disciples, I think his name was Andrew. He was a Scotland supporter later on. But one of them, Andrew, he looked at me and he smiled at me. And I smiled back and I took out my pat lunch. Really wasn't very much. And I said, you can give that to Jesus. And he opened up my wee satchel, and there were 5 loaves. Now, don't think of 5 rolls. Think of 5 bits of pita bread, flat bread, made of barley for poor people, and 2 sardine-sized fish. Wasn't all that much for me, but we didn't have much at home, Mum and Dad and I. And I gave it to Jesus. One of the things I've learned listening to Jesus is that a little is a lot in the hands of Jesus. Do you remember how it was the crying tears of a baby in the River Nile that drew a princess's attention to a baby that she saved who turned out to be Moses? Do you remember how it was just a single stone in the Valley of Elah that David picked up to knock Goliath off his perch? Just a little. And Andrew comes and he holds out these 5 bits of pita bread and these 2 sardines. And he says, well, here's what the little boy offers. And Jesus gave me a smile. And he said, but what's this among so many? And Jesus said, right, let's get organized. I want you to put the people in 50s and 100s. And you can get them to sit down. It's green grass. It's springtime. It's not wet. sit down in order of 50. And then he took the bread and the fish, and he held it up and he prayed to God, "Blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who gives food to eat." And he broke it, and he started to give, and he just continued to give. And the disciples kept going out with food and kept coming back for more and kept going out with food. And there wasn't just a taste, a nibble. You could have seconds. In fact, it says that they ate enough till everyone had had enough. It was a scrummy meal. Wait till I tell Mum. And then Jesus says, "And gather up all the extra." And the disciples had to get a doggy bag. And so they got a doggy bag and they put all the fragments in. They each had one, 12 baskets, 12 disciples. And there were 12 full baskets of bread left over. Just a little, but a lot in the hands of Jesus. Jesus hadn't said when Andrew had come up, "That's great, let's get 50 more loaves and a bucket full of fish before we start. Let's start with what we've got." 30 years ago, there was a man in Wales called David Cook. He had 4 children that he loved, and he was watching the telly. And on the telly, he saw the story of children who had no mummies and daddies who lived in Romania. And they looked so sad and so miserable that he couldn't sleep that night. And he said to his wife, "We've got to do something." He said, "Why don't we, I'll tell you what, I've got a lorry. Why don't we try and fill the lorry and take some presents to these children in Romania?" And he told his friends all about it. And some of the presents, they thought, "Why don't we put them in shoeboxes?" Well, do you know that first year in 1990, when not just his lorry, but a convoy of cars and lorries, excited by his vision, drove to Romania, they took 30,000 shoeboxes. Because one man had a dream. Last year, Operation Christmas Child sent out 10.5 million boxes around the world. In the 30 years since one man had a vision about a child he'd seen on the telly, 178 million shoeboxes have gone around the world. Because someone who loved Jesus and someone who loved people said, "I can't do everything, but I can do something. And if I do something in Jesus' name, who knows what might happen?" Do you know that if you have today food in your tummy and a bed to sleep in and a roof over your head, you are richer than 75% of the people in our world? And do you know that if you or your mummy and daddy have money in the bank and money in your wallet or your purse or even some loose coins that you can't be bothered carrying around in a tray in your house, you're richer than over 90% of the people in our world today? And whenever we say, "Well, what can be done?" hold up a mirror and hold up a Bible. And the mirror says, "I can do a little." And Jesus says, "And together we can do a lot." So thank you for everyone who's given a shoebox. And thank you, God, for giving us visions, which simply says, "What have you got?" "Not much." And Jesus says, "It's enough for me." Amen.